Well, today, as we start off this series called The Blessed Life, this is going to be a five-part series that we're going to run up all the way through Easter. Now, you know this has to be God wanting to communicate this series because no pastor in his right mind will do a stewardship talk going into Easter. You know, normally it's an evangelism, let's go reach the world, but no, we're going to talk about money going into Easter. And if that's just confirmation that I didn't know we're going to do this series. I mean, I had it planned out months back, but God reconfirmed it that this was the talk we needed to do. I also wanted to say this too. I'm so proud of you being a church that's so faithful in giving. Many of you know that we just put just over $100,000 in our building fund without even doing a building campaign. That's just been us trying to be good stewards of God's money here. Not only that, we raised $37,000 in the compassion offering, which was phenomenal. By the way, if you were a part of the group that you kind of did a pledge last minute, pledges were due March 1, which was last Sunday. So if you haven't turned that in, just try to get that in as soon as you can. That'd be great. But so being that said, I was talking with a pastor friend in Dallas, and I was telling him, I said, I don't know about doing a stewardship talk, you know, when we just did great and raised a lot of money. And he said, well, I think it's a great time. And the reason he said that is so true is because in this series, look at me, I'm not asking for your money. We're not here trying to campaign anything. I'm not going to take up five offerings, you know, and try to, you know, get more of your money. That's not what this is about, okay? So this is a perfect time for us to talk about it. It'd be bad if we had to talk about it saying, hey, we're closing our doors. We need you to give. Amen. We're not closing our doors. We're doing great. But I want all of you to catch this, and I want you to learn the principle of stewardship in the Bible, okay? So this entire series is based off of a book, no secret here. It's by a guy named Robert Morris, and he's the pastor at Gateway Church. Now, Gateway Church, just so you know, in Dallas, Texas, they run like 30,000, 90,000 people. I don't know. It's massive, you know, all over the world, that kind of thing. And our church here at Brave, I've been blessed with the opportunity to learn from their team, and so I'm in their coaching network. So our staff gets to fly up to Gateway and learn from the leadership at Gateway and a lot. And so I did this series actually in 2016 when we first launched the church, right around the first series. And so I haven't done a talk on stewardship, I just want you to know, in 3 years. So I don't preach on money and series like this all the time, but really felt like God was impressing it on me to do it. In addition to that, I got books for everybody. I got the book called The Blessed Life that we typically sell. If you cannot afford to buy it, then I just want you to take it today. Then just go grab it. It's at the resource table, and I'm not kidding. Go take it. It'll change your life forever. And if you can donate something to purchase the book, well, then donate something. We paid about 10 bucks a book. If you want to give 10 bucks for it, then give 10 bucks for it. If you want to give more than that, give more than that. If you can't afford that and all you got is a quarter, they'll just give the resource table a quarter. They'll give you the book. Make sense? That's how bad I want you to have this book. And that's how important it is that you read it and that you understand it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach off of that book. So the next 5 weeks, if you read through the book, you'll be getting like a double download. Does that make sense? If that wasn't clear, you're ruined for the rest of the message. Are we clear? Are we good? Okay. All right. I'm making sure. You're in trouble if not. All right. Here we go. This is good stuff. It often surprises Christians when they discover just how much the Bible talks about money. I don't know if you know how much. In fact, I want you to know there are over 2,300 verses in the Bible when it comes to material possessions and wealth. That's a lot of verses. Just want you to know. In addition to that, roughly, this is about the percentage, 15% of what Jesus taught on was money. 11 of 39 of his parables are about money. Here's what I want you to understand. If Jesus was your senior pastor, he'd talk about money a lot. Just want you to know that. And so for me, when we started the church, I decided I would not be afraid to talk on money, and I'm not going to be. Because in your deepest heart, you want your senior pastor and your leader to be like Christ. So if you want me to be like Jesus, then I'm going to teach on money. Does that make sense? And even if it rubs you the wrong way, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was never afraid to rub people the wrong way. He did it all the time, right? And so, amen. There's my intro. Okay. Look at a couple teachings from Jesus. Matthew 6:24. We'll put it up on the screen if you have your Bibles or on your notes. I put it there for you too. And I put all these verses on your notes because I want you to read them. And I want you to understand, I'm not making this up. This is God's word. And he spoke it. And I want you to understand what God has to say about money. Okay? Look what Jesus said, Matthew 6:24. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for you'll hate the one, love the other. You'll be devoted to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." Now remember this. God's chief competitor for your heart is your money, not Satan. He says, you got two masters in this world. And he does not say Satan and God. Isn't that interesting? He says money and God. In other words, my biggest issue with you and your heart is your money. It's not Satan. It's your money. So, goes on to say Luke 21:3-4. He says, "I tell you the truth." Jesus said, I want you to catch that. This is Jesus talking. He says, "The poor widow has given more than all the rest of them." These are a whole bunch of people come up and giving and offerings and tithes. But this poor woman walks up and gives more, even though she had a couple of coins. He says, verse 4, "For they have given a tiny part." Now look at what he says. A tiny part of their what? Somebody say it out loud. Yeah, you gave a tiny part of your surplus. So you figured, well, we got a little extra, so we'll give it. Let's pat ourselves on the back. But then he says, "But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." Now, who gave more? According to Jesus, she did. Even if they had a $10 million and they gave $100,000 or $10,000 and she has two coins and she gives it all, Jesus said she gave way more. It's the sacrifice behind it, notice. So we can't feel so good about ourselves when we throw in a dollar and we have, you know, $10,000 in the bank. Well, I feel good about myself. I gave the dollar, you know. Does that make sense? Jesus says, I want you to think about the heart. Jesus spoke about money not because he was obsessed with money or that he wanted us to have lots of it, but because money was a heart issue. The title of the message today is, "It's All About the Heart." It's all about the heart. I want you to catch that in this part one. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19. Says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Key principle, write this down. Your heart is attached to your giving. Write the word attached. Your heart is attached to your giving. If you don't believe me, how many of you currently have no money in the stock market? Raise your hand. You have no money in the stock market, you know? Okay. Ready? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. If you don't believe this statement, ready? Put it to the test. Go put $500 in the stock market today. I promise you, you'll start checking the stock market. No one goes to Vegas, puts their money on the table, and walks away. You don't go to the Hard Rock Casino in downtown Tampa, put your money on a table and say, "We'll see what happens, but call me, let me know." You watch that thing closely and you don't let a hand come around it. Yes? Come on. Oh, none of you go to Tampa Casino. They just stay in business by themselves. Your heart is attached to your giving. If you put your money in your kids' sporting events, you will care how they perform. Listen, I spent a couple $100. My daughter's playing softball now, and so we went out and bought bats and the balls and the gloves and the whole thing. Guess what we're doing every day? Softball. I'm watching videos, learning whatever I can learn, grabbing at straws, whatever I can. You know why? Because my money went there. Jesus said, wherever your money goes, your heart follows it. When you start paying for your kids' college, guess what phone call they're going to get? "Hey, how you doing? How are your grades?" Why? Because your money went there. See, if you want your money, if you want your heart towards the kingdom of God, start putting your money into the kingdom of God. Some of you don't care what's happening in the kingdom of God. And here's why. Because your money isn't going there. If you put your money towards the kingdom of God, just like if you put your money in a stock market, you'll start to care about what's happening in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus knows. And he wants your heart. So he knows that your money is attached to it. So he says, if you start putting your treasure in it, your heart will come after it. Because I care about your heart. He wants your heart. The reason Jesus taught on giving so much is not because he needs your money. Be set free today. God does not need your money. Think about that. Do you think he really needs your money? It's not like he can't pay the electric bill in heaven. You know, I'm tapped out, guys. Can y'all please tell the guy down there to give something here? Because we're broke up here. He does not need your money. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. Jesus is after your heart. Principle number two, write this down. Giving reveals and shapes the heart. It reveals and shapes the heart. That is why when Jesus taught on marriage, think about this. Now, I'm talking about giving now. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving. Somebody could say, you know, do you preach on giving? And I say, yeah, all the time. I preach on giving every single Sunday. Have you noticed that? Some of you are like, well, then I'm not ever going to come back to this church every single Sunday. This is all you talk about is giving. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving. Think about this. Jesus talked about giving all the time. When he talked about marriage, what did he talk about? Submission. Giving to one another. You know why? Because he knows you can't have a healthy marriage with two takers. Let alone one. Giving. It's an essential part. Giving reveals and shapes the heart. Right? It's true. He taught on serving. He talks about giving your time to one another. If we teach on grace, we talk about giving forgiveness. I mean, giving is all through the scriptures. It's giving, it's giving, it's giving, it's giving, it's giving. Why? Because it's what reveals and shapes the heart. I want you to see that giving is attached to your heart, and giving reveals and shapes the heart. I'm not talking about just money right now. I'm talking about giving. Giving constantly shapes and molds our hearts. And one way that we give is in our money. There's only one way, but it's a piece of it. So how do we develop a heart of giving? The good news is the Bible tells us how. Number one, write this down, deal with the selfish heart. We got to deal with the selfish heart. I don't know if you know this, but some of you are selfish. I know none of you are selfish. I'm talking to all of them, okay? You ever know that children are selfish when they're born? Anybody have any selfish children at all? Me and one lady in the back, awesome. Anybody have any selfish children, selfish grandchildren, selfish adults? You know, they're 29 but still living off mom and dad. Anybody at all? Anybody know? Selfishness is all over us. Kids are born selfish. You don't have to teach your child to be selfish. We have four kids, and our two-year-old right now, the third one, you know, she's struggling with selfishness. Everything is hers. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. And I'm starting to get frustrated. I'm like, that ain't yours. I bought that, you know. And then she's two. I'm trying to reason with the two-year-old, which does not work in. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They are selfish when they're born. They're just born into selfishness. And I got news for you. So are you, and so was I. So God is trying to work on our selfishness. Does that make sense? So we have to work on that. It doesn't come naturally. No two-year-old's born a giver. Oh, she's just so giving and not selfish at all. It's tremendous. You know, no, we have to work that out. Look what Deuteronomy 15:10 says. Now, this whole passage we're going to read in Deuteronomy 15 teaches us how to have a heart of giving, okay? I'm sorry, verse 7. If anyone is poor among you, your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land, the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I want you to notice, God is giving you. So God is the one giving it. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land, the Lord your God is giving you, Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed, and notice what he says, freely, okay? Freely, not selfishly. Freely lend them whatever they need. Verse 9, be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. Now, what's the wicked thought? He says, here's the wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near. Now, that's the quote. Don't have this thought in your mind, that the seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near. Don't have that thought. You say, why is that important? I'll tell you in just a second. So that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you. Now watch what he says, and you will be found guilty of sin. All debts were canceled in God's economy every 7 years. Wouldn't that be awesome today? Hey, buddy, it's been 7 years. I don't owe you nothing. We would all hold out on medical bills. Can I call you in 7 years? Can you? Wouldn't that be awesome? But that's the way it worked in God's economy. Okay, all debts are canceled. So what's he saying? See, if you're going to go and lend somebody some money, and it's the year of Jubilee, it's the year of the seventh year, you're going to have in your mind, wait a second, they're not going to pay me back, so I'm not going to lend you the money because I know I'm not going to get it back. And you know what God says? Don't do that. Do not withhold the money that they need. Do not do that. And by the way, if you do that and you don't give what you're supposed to give, I want you to know what they're going to do. And look what he says in the last line. They will appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. It's a big issue to God when we don't have a heart of giving. So much that he calls it sin. You'll be guilty of sin. God is simply saying, when you're selfish, it is sin. Question, why did God create giving? Why did he create the principle of giving money? Why would he do that, right? Here's what we know for sure. God does not need your money, but the reason God created giving is because it works the selfishness and greed out of our hearts. That's the reason he created the principle of giving. He does not need your money to build a church. Last time I checked, he said sun, and then the sun came out. Light, and light appeared. He speaks, and it comes forth. The reason he created the principle of giving is to get selfishness and greed out of humanity. It's the way, and some of you right now are like, well, I don't like that. Selfish and greedy, exactly. Couldn't he do it another way? No, selfish and greedy. It's the way he works it out of us. It's very important we understand that. We do not give, by the way, to get. I will not preach to you about giving to get more. Because if you do that, what are you doing? You're giving out of a selfish motive. You don't give to get. Oh, well, I can't wait till I start giving to God, and then I get more. You think your dad's going to be in heaven going, I'm so proud of you giving to me just so you get more? No, I'm working on your heart. We give to give. We give to give, to be more like Christ. Amen. Number two, you got to deal with the grieving heart. Verse 10 says, grieving heart. Give grieving heart. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 15 says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Some of you have heard that in the New Testament even, with a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord God will bless you in all of your work and in everything you put your hand to. He will bless all your work and everything you put your hand to. So give generously, but do so without a grudging heart. The word grudging was a Hebrew word, ra'ah, which means to be sad or break. I want you to notice this. Selfishness attacks before we give. Grief attacks after we give. For example, let's say, you know, you decide to obey God and you give and then your car breaks down and then you say, man, I wish I wouldn't have gave that. You know, man, only if I had not given that, then we could get what we really want. Don't let that attack you after the fact. What would happen? You grieved what you gave. I knew I shouldn't have given that to him. You're grieving what you gave. He says, don't give that way. Don't let selfishness get to your heart beforehand, and don't let grief get to your heart afterwards. I was talking with a pastor this week, and he showed me this illustration. And I thought, I need two men who have a wallet in their pocket. So anybody got a wallet in their pocket? Now, don't be scared. We know we're talking about money, so I think some of you are afraid. Come on, I need two guys. Who's got a wallet in your pocket? Come here. All right, Cody, you got one. All right. I want you and the wallet, okay? All right, no, hold on. Don't give me your money. Hold on. I want you to hand him your wallet. Now, Cody, listen, okay? Now, you give him your wallet. Yeah, go ahead. Now, here's what I want you to do. I don't know what's in their wallet. I don't know what's in their wallet. You just give out of that wallet whatever you feel like giving. Don't worry about him. You give to me whatever you want to give out of that wallet, man.
Give to you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Hand it to me. You pocket it for yourself? You're going to give me the whole thing?
Yeah.
You see how easy that was? Now, if you want to give to me whatever's in Cody's wallet, you give to me whatever's in Cody's wallet. Now, here's the interesting. Are you guys gonna have a seat? Now, watch. I didn't expect it to go that well. But here's what's funny. Do you see how easy Cody gave his wallet? You know why he did that? Because it's not his. And do you know why he gave Cody's wallet? Because it wasn't his. Now watch this. It's easy to give when you know the money that you have isn't yours. One of the reasons you have a hard time giving to God what's his is because you don't know it's his. Nothing you have in your wallet's yours. See, it's easy to give when it isn't yours. Some of you get baptized like this. You go under the water and you hold your wallet up and you say, Jesus, set me free, but not my wallet. Take me all the way under, but you can't have my wallet. What's interesting, when he was holding someone else's money in his hand, he said, you can have the whole thing because it ain't mine. Do you catch the illustration? When you start to learn that nothing you own is yours, you don't believe me? Look at your notes. Read the Bible. Psalm 24, verse 1. I will solve that problem for you right now. The earth is the Lord's. It ain't Billy's. I don't know if there's a Billy in here. I don't know, but the earth is the Lord's. And I just want you to say this. Not mine. You did not create the earth. You're not that talented. And watch what he says. And everything in it, everything in your wallet belongs to God. Everything in your bank account belongs to God. He's the one who lets you breathe the lungs that let you get up to go do the work that you're called to do. It's all his. Some of us are like, it's mine. You know what God's saying to some of us in this room? When are you going to grow up? I teach my child, it's not yours. It's not yours. I mean, I'm gifting it to you, to steward it, watch over it, yes, but work that selfishness out of you. Parents, we try to teach our kids that all the time. We try to teach our kids to get the selfishness and greed out of them. Don't be selfish. Don't be stingy. Don't be greedy. We teach this out of them because we want them to mature and grow up, because we don't want greedy, selfish children for the rest of our life. Now, say amen to that. See? Okay. So God looks at his children and he says, I don't want greedy, selfish children for the rest of your earthly life. So grow up. Mature. Understand it's not yours. All right, you want your wallets back? I don't know whose is who. I can keep it. Okay. He's like, that's mine. Hold on. It's funny. Okay. Here we go. The reason we give grudgingly, by the way, is because we think the money is ours. We don't grieve giving what was never yours in the first place. Remember when Paul says, don't be a grudging giver. Don't give grudgingly. Give generously. Don't give grudgingly. You don't give grudgingly, which isn't yours. Okay, I hope you caught that. Number three, develop a generous heart. This is all about how do we develop a giving heart, a heart of giving. Develop a generous heart. We need to develop a generous heart. Continue on in the text of Deuteronomy 15 as he's teaching about how to do this. He says, if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let them go free. We just talked about that. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Now here's the whole point. A fellow Hebrew who owed someone some debt that couldn't pay the debt, this was the rule. You could sell yourself to the person you owe the debt to, and then after the 7 year, then you'd be set free because your debt would be canceled. And so the master then, who or the person that was kind of like the master of that slave for that debt, would have to let that person who owed the debt go free. And when they let them go free, they had to make sure that he supplied them with all the necessary resources and tools to be successful in their life. So they couldn't just kick him out of the house. They had to give him some sheep and give him some goats and give him some money, give him some food, and send him on their way. Does that make sense? And so this is the principle that we're looking at. And the basis of, if you're like, well, how much do I give them? You know, do I give them a nice car? Do I give them, you know, how much food? So the principle was, you do this. You give to them as the Lord, your God, has blessed you. So based on how God has blessed you, you bless them to the same degree. Now let me ask you a question. How much has God blessed you? Saved you from the pit of hell. Gave his life for you. And he loves you so much. This is the principle of God. You bless others with the same measure that God has blessed you. When it's silent, I know I'm preaching good. God is teaching his people to be generous just as he has been generous to us. Why? I want you to catch this. Why? Because when we're generous, we reflect the image of God. You were created in his image to reflect your creator. And so when you give, and I'm not talking about just money right now, I'm not excluding it, I'm including it, but when you give, you reflect the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. When we give our time, our energy, our finances, our resources, when we give, we become more like Christ. It's the essence of who he is. Living as a Christ follower is learning to live like Christ. God is after developing a generous heart in you and in me. He wants us to constantly do that. Parents, we do this by teaching our kids to share. Do we not? We teach our kids, share. You need to share. Share. You need to start sharing. Hey, share. That's not your share. Don't you want him to give to you? You want him to treat you the way he wants to be treated? Come on. We have all these phenomenal principles when we come to parenting, right? Don't you know that that's what God is saying to so many of you? What does it say in Acts chapter 4 when the church exploded? They what? Shared. They shared with one another. No one went without. They shared. He's still teaching us. Some of us still need to learn the principle that our parents told us when we were two. Share. And some of you still have your wallet in your pocket. Somebody else can pay the rent for the church. Share. Share. That's just the dad coming out of me. That's how I talk to the kids at home sometimes. Does that make sense? And some of you don't want to share. I heard a statistic the other day, and it broke my heart, and I hope it breaks yours. 5 to 7% of believing, professing Christians in the church tithe. It breaks my heart. Five to 7%. When are we going to grow up? Be like our Father in heaven. Say, I lay down my whole life. I give it all to you. Whatever you want is yours. I'm not going to hold on to anything. I'm going to invest everything I have into what you have for me. Lay down your whole life. The scripture says go further than giving your wallet. Did you know that God calls for more than 10%? You ready? Watch this. He says, lay down your body as a living sacrifice. He doesn't just say, just give me the 10. He says, lay down your whole life. Don't you understand? I want your heart. I want your heart. Some of you are saying this right now to yourself, well, I'll give my heart, but I won't give my wallet. Well, then God doesn't have your whole heart. God developed, number four, a grateful heart. Last one. Develop a grateful heart. You say, how do I develop this grateful heart? How do I develop this? I have a hard time giving. You got to understand, how do I do it? I got to develop a generous heart. How do I develop a grateful heart? 15:15 says, remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this, watch this, command today. You know what's funny when it comes to the area of giving? We don't look at this word and attach it to giving. I want you to think about the heart here. Remember, it's all about the heart. So many of you are okay with the command of not murdering. Do not murder. That's a command. And some of you parents tell your kids a commandment all the time. You know what commandment you tell them? The Lord said to honor your mother and your father. God commanded it. And then when it comes to giving and tithing, like, well, we get a choice there. It's not really a command. We have to give, do we? It's amazing to me how we pick and choose the commandments we follow. God commands us to be generous. It's a commandment to be generous. Okay? And the way to do this is by remembering what God has done for us. Now, I want to share the story for just a minute. Band, you guys can come out if he isn't already. I want to share a story with you. And I want everybody to listen in. So if you're a volunteer and trying to get ready, just come in, listen to this. I know we got some baptisms happening after service. By the way, join us for baptisms after service. But I'm going to share a story of me. I want everyone to hear me. So don't miss this. Everybody in the room, hear this story because this comes from my heart. And I'm about to be as transparent as I've ever been on a platform. Okay? So why is this message so important to me in the moment, and why is God calling us to do this message now? part of that's because God's working on my life and my heart. Been married 12 years, gave my life to Jesus really fully, really kind of fully again. I got baptized as a kid around 12, 13, but really gave my life to Christ when I was 27. And ever since then, I started tithing and got married not a short time later, you know, about a year and a half later. And since 2007, been married to my wife, and we tithe all the time, okay? We don't ever miss a tithe. If we get behind, you know, a week or something, we forgot, I mean, we always catch up type of thing. In fact, we used to ask our church for tithe records. Give us our tithe records. We want to make sure that we're, you know, up to date. The conversation came up recently, though. I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, if I'm not mistaken. And we talked about, you know, giving some more. And we started having the conversation about, do we give off the net or do we give off the gross? I don't know if you've ever had that conversation. We did in our home. And so we came up with this plan. Well, let's give off of, you know, let's give, you know, let's tithe, you know, after taxes, but before the health insurance, but after the 401k. I'm not kidding. And so we're working this out about which one we're going to give off of. And here's what happened. So we're in this conversation. A couple months is going on. We start kind of increasing our giving, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves because we're giving, you know, just after taxes now. And for over a decade, I want you to know something. I confess my sin. I robbed God. I robbed him. Because Malachi says, have you robbed me? He says, in your tithes and your offerings. We'll talk about that later on in the series. I've been tithing off my net for over a decade. And I'm faithful in giving, and I give to every campaign we have. I want you to know that. We give a lot of money away. We give a lot of money. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm telling you, I do give. We give a lot of our money away. But, so I thought, God had my heart. That's why I'm telling you that. The reason why I'm telling you that we give a lot of money, we give a lot of our money away. But the reason why I'm telling you that is, even though I've been given a lot of money, I don't think I was no different than a Pharisee. I was tithing, giving, and I thought we're doing it right. The truth was we weren't. Here's why. Because he didn't have our hearts. Here's how I know that. Because I did the math, and I included our gross. And I thought, that's $140 extra dollars or something like that. It, you know, additional to what we were giving. And I'm like, I don't want to give the extra $140. And I just started grumbling over that extra $100 or whatever it was. I want you to hear that. I was grumbling over $100. You know what God told me? This is what God told me. He said, Ricky, I got your wallet, but I don't got your heart. And I broke. And it wrecked me. Because he didn't have my heart. And here I was feeling good about myself, about tithing for 10 years plus. But I noticed in that moment he did not have my heart. And when I looked back, I thought, you've been so faithful to me. I lost a massive income. I lost a massive part of my income when we planted the church and all this stuff. And God has been so incredibly faithful to me. I mean, he's blessed me with children and wife and home and cars and money. Since I've joined the ministry in 12 years, I moved here from Texas with $300 in my account, and that's all I had. I've never missed a payment on anything. I've had more than enough every single day of my life since giving my life to Christ. And here I was complaining internally about an extra $100 as if I didn't serve a faithful God. I want you to know that's what was going on in my heart. And then I started to remember how faithful he's been to me. And as soon as I started to remember how faithful he's been to me, I thought, God, why wouldn't I give this all to you? As if I'm afraid. Like, God, but it's an extra $100. Can you make that up somehow? I mean, because I haven't seen you work miracles before yet. And then he's like, I parted the sea. Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot that verse. I preached on it, I know, but I forgot it. I made walls come down, Ricky. I built churches. I speak and things happen. I resurrect dead people. Oh, yeah, that's right, God, sorry. And as soon as I understood this, I thought, God, giving to you. And here's the catch. Here's the thing. We've been trying to sell our home for 6 months, 7, 8 months. Wasn't selling. We're like, oh, God, then he's supposed to sell our home. What's going on? Now watch this. I tell my wife, babe, I mean, instantly, God spoke. I said, giving off the gross. Okay, get off the gross. So we're giving off the gross. God, we trust you. A week later, we had an offer on our house, and our house sold. I love the golf clap, but listen. Here's the principle. You know what God was saying? I'm not going to sell your house until you learn to be generous. What a lesson that I learned. I hope you learned something from my lesson and you don't make the same mistake I make. Trust God with everything. The moment I gave, we gave off the gross. I'm not kidding you. A week later, we had an offer. And 30 days later, we closed. Like that. You know what God was doing? I ain't letting that house go until you learn a very important principle here, Ricky. I need your heart. I need your whole heart. And when he has your heart, he can entrust you with more. It's not why I do it, but he entrusts you with more because he has your heart and he can trust what you're going to do with the blessings that he gives you because he's got your heart. Very important for us to understand that. So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close out. We're going to sing for a second. And today's simple. If you've got a decision you want to make today, I think we're going to have some people that come down front in just a minute. If they're here, we want to pray with you today. If it's about a heart of giving, ask God to help give you that heart. If you've been grumbling about your giving and, you know, you need God to open up some doors in your life financially, maybe you need healing today, maybe you want to give your life to Jesus today, maybe you want to get baptized today, whatever it is, when we sing this song, I just want to invite you to come down front and get prayed with. Have somebody pray with you, and then we'll just miss out. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we give you this time and opportunity to minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.